from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Infrastructure development is a long-term development, not an instant one. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to multiply the capital injection of state-owned financing company PLM. Indonesian Vice President hopes Indonesian citizens in Argentina to use their voting rights. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo remarked that the infrastructure development carried out by the government is not an instant process that immediately gives significant economic impacts. According to President Joko Widodo, the government is currently trying to build stronger economic foundation, which is not going to be instant, so that the development can contribute positive progress for the economic growth thoroughly. Speaking at the socialization of the 2019 Village Fund in Cigombong Administrative Village, Bogor, on Sunday, December 2nd, President Joko Widodo remarked that the government has been trying to encourage the rural development through the provision of village fund. The impact of the development will not be felt instantly by society, but in a few years to come.
Kadang-kadang kita ini senangnya instan.
We prefer instant things sometimes. We expect development will give us advantages immediately. Development is not an instant process. There must be difficulty that we shall face. We have to step slowly, and it may take some years to be able to get the impacts, yet we will reap the benefits later. In addition, President Joko Widodo pointed out that the Village Fund program, which has been disbursed by the government since 2015, must be used properly to fulfill the necessity of the village. President hopes the fund can be used to foster the economic growth in the village. As stated by President, the Village Fund has impacted many people in the village through the establishment of villages' facilities such as construction of road, integrated health service post Posyandu, village market, bridge, as well as irrigation system. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the government would multiply the capital injection of the state-owned financing company PNM for people who need it. It was remarked by President Joko Widodo after holding a dialogue with the citizens of Bantarjati Administrative Village, Bogor City, West Java. In the dialogue, President Joko Widodo listened to the people's complaints regarding the challenges they encounter in developing economic activities. After the dialogue ended, President decided that the government needs to multiply the capital injection of PNM in a bid to improve society's economic activities.
Dan setelah saya lihat di lapangan, saya pengen ketemu mungkin
After observing the condition in public, I met with some groups to learn more about their economic activities. Based on the dialogue, I concluded that the government needs to multiply the capital injection of PNM so that the capital can be allocated broadly and the amount of the loaning will be bigger. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said that the Membina Ekonomi Keluarga Sejahtera Mekar, or Fostering the Prosperous Families Economy Program of PNM, has been implemented since the end of 2015, covering 3.9 million clients. According to the president, all this time, the loaning provided for people has been restricted only around 1 to 2 million rupiah. However, there are many people who demand bigger capital injection. The government targets 4 million clients of the financing program by the end of 2018. The government will also recalculate the number of the loaning in order to eliminate economic gap. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla hopes all Indonesian citizens in Argentina who have been registered on the final voter list to use their voting rights at the 2019 general elections. It was remarked by Vice President Yusuf Kalla when meeting with Indonesian citizens in Buenos Aires, Argentina, during his attendance at the G20 summit. Based on the written statement of the Vice President received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, the general elections to be held on April 2019 are going to be the most complicated Democratic Party ever in Indonesia, because there will be 5 categories in the elections on a day. In addition, Yusuf Kalla remarked to the Indonesian citizens in Argentina that the implementation of general elections in Indonesia has always been safe, namely there has never been any severe clash causing victims due to different political views in both the legislative and presidential elections. Therefore, Yusuf Kalla called for all Indonesian citizens to maintain the conduciveness of Indonesian nation from the campaign period to the end of 2019 elections. A press statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, December 2nd, Vice President Yusuf Kalla remarked on the second day of the G20 meeting that sustainable development and climate change are two closely linked global issues that need to be overcome together. The G20 summit that ended on December 1st reached an agreement on G20 leaders' declaration on building consensus for fair and sustainable development. The agreement that was reached following tough negotiations contains important issues needing immediate actions at global level. The important issues include international trade that could affect global economic growth, multilateral cooperation based on international rules, stable international financial system, migration and refugees, climate change, energy and agricultural resilience, economic digitalization that could support distribution of development and inclusive finance, corruption and effort to stop funding related to terrorism and other crimes. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who spoke on the theme of embracing the opportunities, said Indonesia urged G20 countries to strengthen partnership in mobilizing private sector's investment, innovation, and technology transfer. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati reminded that Indonesia must prepare the right materials and stance as well as competent negotiator in a bid to face the bilateral trade war era and the extreme declining of multilateral solution. In the social media account of the Indonesian Finance Ministry, escorted by Antara, Sri Mulyani explained that these stages must be taken because economic recovery has not been spread evenly and some economic policies among countries have become unclear and unsuitable. In addition, the uncertainty is worsened by the confrontational trade policy. The trade war has encouraged G20 to make multilateral reforms at the World Trade Organization. Sri Mulyani therefore advised that the G20 annual states leaders meeting to be held in Buenos Aires, Argentina, can contribute to determining the economic policy and global economic management. On the occasion, Sri Mulyani also reminded about the opportunity and threats of the digital economy, which have been the concern of G20 due to labor issues, as digital economy affects labor policy, social security, and taxation. The Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Belgium, called for Indonesian citizens in Belgium to maintain unity despite of having political choices in the 2019 elections. According to the report of First Secretary for Protocol and Consular Affairs at the Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Dara Yusilawati made to Antara in London on Sunday, December 2nd, Indonesian Ambassador to Belgium, Yuri Tamrin, delivered the call when presenting his remark at the seminar about elections in Ghent, Belgium on Saturday. Dara pointed out that at least 150 people comprising civilians, university students, and high school students participated at the seminar in a bid to improve their understanding on how to become smart and wise voters. Ambassador Yuri Tamrin also told the Indonesian society and diaspora abroad about the importance of respecting local values and regulations, as well as being careful in facing the security threat in Belgium. The last item. Based on the statement of Vice Head of Administration of Sukabumi, Ajo Sardoyono, quoted by Antara, Sukabumi Airport in West Java will be built in early 2019. According to Ajo, the construction of the airport will support the development in Sukabumi district in the transportation sector, especially now that the district administration is intensifying the promotion of Ciletuh Pelabuhan Ratu Geopark tourism attraction. The airport is expected to help increase the number of domestic and foreign tourist visits, as there will be access to reach the district. Ajo further said that the airport will strengthen connectivity in Sukabumi district with other areas. Ajo added that people in Sukabumi should be ready to welcome the development, as the construction of airport will contribute positive impacts to improve local economy and welfare. Earlier, acting head of Cimanggu Village, Cikembar Subdistrict, Haris said the Transportation Office of West Java had put some stakes in the land that would be used as the construction site of Sukabumi Airport. The stakes are believed to mark the area for physical development, such as runways and other facilities. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Infrastructure development is a long-term development, not an instant one. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to multiply the capital injection of state-owned financing company PNM. Indonesian Vice President hopes Indonesian citizens in Argentina to use their voting rights. Listener, that was the news.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's topic is to fulfill equal rights for people with disability. In Indonesia, December 3rd is commemorated as Disability Day. Since it was launched by the United Nations UN in 1992, every year the international world, including Indonesia, specifically commemorates the day. The aim is to develop people's insights about the issue relating to the lives of people with disabilities or the disabled, and at the same time, it is to provide support to improve their dignity, rights, and welfare. The theme for this year's Disability Day is Inclusive Indonesia and Friendly with Disability. Minister of Social Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, through the International Disability Day commemoration, calls for stakeholders to jointly realize that Indonesia is friendly to people with disabilities. Thus, all parties have a role to play together. It's still fresh in Indonesian memory, the pride of Indonesian people for the achievements of Indonesian disabled athletes at the 2018 Asian Paragames. The Indonesian contingent is in the fifth place with 37 gold medals. The participation of the athletes with disabilities is the full attention of the Indonesian government to give them equal opportunities. The government, led by President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, gives more attention to the people with disabilities in Indonesia. One of them is the issuance of Disability Person Act No. 8, 2016 about the fulfillment of the rights of disabled people. On the occasion of International Disability Day, the government also distributes cards for disabled people, which have great benefits. This card can be used to record the types of abnormalities or disabilities experienced. The number of persons with disabilities in Indonesia will also be calculated by using the card. The government will integrate the card for disabled people with public facilities to facilitate and provide comfort for people with disabilities. Take, for example, the disabled do not need to pay fees when using Transjakarta buses and trains if they show the card. The card are certainly not enough for Indonesian people with disabilities, especially for those who are of productive age. According to the result of the 2017 National Empowerment Survey, the number of disabled with various types of disabilities reaches more than 20.5 million. But more important point is that they get equal opportunities as citizens who are not disabled. In fact, a person like odd physical completeness is often balanced with other abilities. Job opportunities for them must also be opened wider. Companies in Indonesia must be open to carry out inclusive businesses. They are not only profit-oriented but also improving people's welfare. In addition, they must provide opportunities for people with disabilities to work according to their skills and abilities. With the engagement of all stakeholders, the right of people with disabilities to receive equal treatment will soon be realized. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While it's time for an event on December 3rd, 1945, on heroic event to take over Gedung Sate. After Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August 17th, 1945, youth and warrior took over Gedung Sate in Bandung, West Java from Japan. Afterwards, the youth from Public Works and Transportation Community make a base as the headquarters of struggle along with forces of struggle agency. But after the arrival of Ali in November 1945, Gedung Sate was a struggle camp in Bandung. From the battle on December 3, 1945, 21 youth were killed and 7 youth disappeared. 7 years later, the corpses of the 7 youth who disappeared were found around Gedung Sate. Gedung Sate, located on Jalan Diponegoro, Bandung, finally becomes an icon of Bandung City and as a governor's office. As the day of a Tet event on December 3, 1945 becomes Public Works Day. The next event is that 1967, Dr. Tint, which was led by Christian Nathalie Bernard succeeded to conduct the first human heart transplant in the world. Christian Nathalie was heart surgeon from South Africa. He has begun to be well known throughout the world since he succeeded to conduct the first heart transplant from human to human. Bernard studied medical science at Cape Town University and carried out the general office and residence at Groote Schuur Hospital in Cape Town, South Africa. He became a general practitioner at Curies, a city in western Cape Town province. The first operation of human heart transplant was conducted by Christian Nathalie Bernard on December 3, 1967, and he was assisted by his sibling Marius Bernard. The operation took time for 9 hours and involved a team which consisted of 30 persons. The patient of the transplant, Louis Wasanski, 55 years old, received heart donor from a young woman, Dennis Darval, who died due to an accident. Louis Wasanski has survived since the operation and lived for 18 days. And the last event is that December 3rd is commemorated at the World Disabilities Day. World Disabilities Day is internationally commemoration, which has been sponsored by the United Nations since 1992 and commemorated every December 3rd. The commemoration is aimed to develop people's perception on problems related to the life of disabled and to give support to increase their dignity, rights, and welfare. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. For today's topic is eco-friendly synthetic rubber factory inaugurated. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto inaugurated a factory owned by PT Indonesia Synthetic Rubber, PT3, as the first synthetic rubber factory in Indonesia that uses ecologically friendly technology. He explained that PT3 has production capacity of 120,000 tons per year, which would increase the added value of butadiene and styrene monomers that had been produced domestically, and strengthen the structure of petrochemical industry from upstream to downstream. Mr. Airlangga, at the inauguration of PT Synthetic Rubber Indonesia 3 plant in Cilegon, Banten last Thursday, said that the factory of PT3 becomes the first synthetic rubber factory in Indonesia to use ecologically friendly technology from French company Michelin. Minister Airlangga Hartarto further pointed out that the inauguration of PT3's factory proves that Indonesia is attractive to investors. He also explained that the synthetic rubber industry is an industry that needs to be developed along with the progress of national economy. Furthermore, Minister Airlangga Hartarto remarked that with the complete tire component manufacturing industry, investors who will produce tires in Indonesia will increase and encourage export of derivative products. Synthetic rubber is widely used to produce tires, conveyor belts, rubber components, footwear and electrical cable wrappers. At present, there is only one synthetic rubber producer with capacity of 75,000 tons per year. Meanwhile, the need for synthetic rubber in Indonesia in 2017 reached 230,000 tons. so to meet the need is by imports. Minister Airlangga also emphasized that the petrochemical industry, including the manufacturing sector, has entered the industrial era 4.0 in addition to cement, automotive, food and beverages. The manufacturing industry is one of the government's five main focuses on transforming industry 4.0 in Indonesia. Meanwhile, President Director PT Sri Braskara said that PT Sri is the best factory in Indonesia to use environmentally friendly technology. PT Sri produces synthetic rubber with the type of solution stearin butadiene rubber SSBR and neodymium catalyst butadiene rubber and DBR. Both types of rubber are material to produce environmentally friendly tires. PT Sri is also a joint venture of collaboration between Michelin and PT Chandra Astri Petrochemical, which was established on June 17, 2013, with 55% and 45% ownership respectively. The investment value from the corporation reaches $435 million. PT Sri has received tax holiday incentives from the government of Indonesia. Praskaras also explained that PT Sri has also begun production since August 2018 and has carried out export with a value $250 million, in line with the government's strategy to increase state revenues through strengthening domestic manufacturing sector. Based on data from the Ministry of Industry, Indonesia manufacturing industry exports continue to increase every year. In the third quarter of 2018, export reached $97.52 billion, an increase of 5.71% over the same period of the previous year, around $92.25 billion. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo remarked that the infrastructure development carried out by the government is not an instant process that immediately gives significant economic impacts. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the government would multiply the capital injection of the state-owned financing company PNM for people who need it. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla hopes all Indonesian citizens in Argentina who have been registered on the final voter list to use their voting rights at the 2019 general elections. A press statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, Vice President Yusuf Kalla remarked on the second day of the G20 meeting that sustainable development and climate change are two closely linked global issues that need to be overcome together. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati reminded that Indonesia must prepare the right materials and stance as well as competent negotiator in a bid to face the bilateral trade war era and the extreme declining of multilateral solution. The Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Belgium, called for Indonesian citizens in Belgium to maintain unity despite of having political choices in the 2019 elections. Based on the statement of Vice Head of Administration of Sukabumi, Aji Sardoyono, quoted by Antara, Sukabumi Airport in West Java will be built in early 2019. Listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sounds.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, culture from various region across Indonesia. In today's editions, we will introduce you Sasi Laut tradition in Maluku. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Listener, almost Sara Island in Maluku, such as Halmahera, Ternate, Buru, Seram, Ambon, Banda, Kei Islands, and also in Papua, such as Raja Ampat Island, Sorong, Manokwari, Nabire, Biak, and many others, a special tradition called Sasi is conducted. Actually, the tradition make a lot of natural tourism object protected its sustainability. Sasi tradition is conducted by a lot of villages which are at coastal area. Listeners, Sasi can be meant as prohibition to take certain natural resources as preservation effort to protect quality and population of the natural resources. Sasi is effort to maintain habit of people's life, including effort toward equitable distribution or income from natural resources surrounding area to all local people. Currently, Sasi is more likely to be traditional law compared with tradition, because Sasi is used as how to tech policy is taking sea and agricultural products. Sasi Laut is traditional regulation in taking sea products. It decides break period on which people should not take resources from the sea in certain time and place which have been determined. The existence of Sasi, people are wiser to take sea product. When Sasi Laut is being conducted, people should not take animals at the area which has been determined until Sasi is open or finished. So, people must patient to harvest the sea animals. Although Sasi closes for months, traditional people are still patient to look for other natural resources to fulfill their daily needs. During Sasi is closed, the animals will breed well and their harvest will be more. In addition, the local people believe that someone who breaks Sasi will get katasprope. Listener, but a lot of newcomers are difficult to be disciplinary because they are not bound by local custom. Consequently, Sasi enforcement cannot be deal firmly. A lot of newcomers and also large companies take over natural resources in Maluku and increasingly obscure the Sasi system, such as the one that happened in Nus Leur and North Terbang, where there are fishing boats that break the rule when taking sea products. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation between RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Kamu akan berlibur kemana? Or in English, Where will you go on vacation? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Kamu akan berlibur kemana? Or in English, Where will you go on vacation? At Joko's house, Tony and Dinda are talking about holidays planning.
Sebentar lagi libur panjang. Kamu mau berlibur kemana?
Belum tahu. Aku belum punya rencana. Mungkin di rumah saja. Kamu akan berlibur kemana?
Aku akan ke Bali.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Liburan, in English, holiday. Libur, in English, holiday. Libur panjang, in English, long holiday. Berlibur, in English, on vacation. Sebentar lagi, libur panjang. In English, there will be a long holiday soon. Kamu mau berlibur kemana? In English, where will you go on vacation? Belum tahu. In English, I have no idea yet. Aku belum punya rencana. In English, I have no plan yet. Mungkin di rumah saja. In English, maybe I just stay at home. Akan berlibur kemana? In English, where will you go on vacation? Aku akan ke Bali. In English, I will go to Bali. Inggris. In English, England. Tidak mungkin. In English, impossible. Harga tiket. In English, ticket price. Mahal. In English, expensive. In a dialogue, Tony asked Dinda, Kamu mau berlibur kemana? In English, where will you go on vacation? While Dinda asked Tony, kalau kamu akan berlibur kemana? In English, how about you? Where will you go on vacation? The word mau has some meaning such as ingin, akan, means want and will, in accordance with the context and situation during a conversation. Let's follow some examples. Saya mau ke Bali minggu depan means I want to go to Bali next week. The word mau in the sentence does not mean ingin or want, but it means akan or in English will. Saya mau ke Inggris, tetapi itu tidak mungkin karena harga tiketnya mahal. Saya mau ke Inggris, tetapi
itu tidak mungkin karena harga tiketnya mahal. In English, I want to go to England, but it is impossible since the ticket is expensive. The word mau in the sentence means ingin, or in English, want. Another example, Tony sees Dinda going outside. Tony wants to know where is Dinda going, and he asks, kamu mau pergi ke mana? The word mau in the sentence means akan. The sentence kamu mau kemana is the same with kamu akan pergi kemana. In English, where are you going? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Sebentar lagi libur panjang. Kamu mau berlibur kemana?
Belum tahu. Aku belum punya rencana. Mungkin di rumah saja. Kamu akan berlibur kemana?
Aku akan ke Bali.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you to some talented Indonesian keroncong singers. To initiate the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the first song entitled Lukisan Malam, sung by Sam Simon. Happy listening.
Bertaburan di angkasa segala menghias alam. Angin pulang lemah gemerai mengusap bumi. Memandang kemesraan lukisan malam.
That was the song Lukisan Malam, sung by Sam Simon. This song tells the story about the beauty of the night decorated with stars scattered in the sky, and the wind blows slowly to caressing the earth. Listener Sam Simon is an Indonesian singer during 1950s era. He has a soft voice. Many people said the vibrations of Sam Simon's voice is very similar to the American singer Nat King Cole. The Keroncong Songs by Sam Simon was taken in an album Koleksi Emas Keroncong or the Keroncong Golden Collection. Although he was famous in Keroncong, Sam Simon also dedicated pop and melee pop genres. The man who was born in 1924 often performed Keroncong songs at Radio Republik Indonesia RRI. He has even compared to composer Ismail Marzuki, Maladi, the maestro of Keroncong, Gesang, and Waljinah. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Wanita by Indra Utami Tamsir. Enjoy the song.
Jika cemerlang
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Music Corner. You've just listened to the song Wanita by Indra Utami Tamsir that tells about women with all their strength and excellence, both physical beauty and tenderness. This song is a leading song in the Kroncong album of Indra Utami Tamsir, Wanita Indonesia, which was launched in mid-2016. The album consists of 13 songs. The song Wanita was the work of composer Ismail Marzuki, a pop genre then repackaged into Kroncong. The presence of Indra Utami Tamsir in the Indonesian entertainment world, especially Kroncong music, is still relatively new. However, her ability in Kroncong music received a good response in the community, especially the music lovers in Indonesia. After the launch of Wanita Indonesia album in 2016, Indra Utami Tamsir held concerts in several cities such as Blora, Semarang, Solo, Yogyakarta, Bandung, Malang, Surabaya, Bali, and ended in Jakarta. The concert that held in September raised the same title as her album, Wanita Indonesia or Indonesian Women. Indra Utami Tamsir received the Emmy Award Achievement from the Indonesian Music Award Foundation in 2013 as the best female solo singer in Kroncong category. At that time, she performed in collaboration with Pesona Jiwa Kroncong Orchestra, led by Koko Tole. Well, listener, to end the music corner for today, let's listen to the last song by Indra Utami Tamsir, entitled Cinta Sejati. The song was the soundtrack of the film Habibi dan Ainun. Enjoy the song and see you on the next Music Corner.
Terima kasih.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.